Blog Talk Radio.
Now it's time for us to show our love for Jeff Bradshaw and friends.
Jazz Radio. We are waiting to hear from Jeff. Until then, we'll play another song from his upcoming album titled The World Is a Ghetto.
We're about to take it on out, y'all. We're going to take you out with a classic, though. Y'all ready? Check it out. Introducing Tony Moore and Jehovah's Chosen. The Nazi Rashid on flute, y'all. Coming back to help me out a little bit. Julius Burvine. On keys from Atlanta, Mr. Clarence Seeley Hill. On keys, Mr. Paris Bowen. Backgrounds, Miss Rare Valverde. Mr. V. Rowe. All the way from Houston, Texas, Miss Trina Broussard. On drums, Mr. Rashid Williams. On percussion, Mr. Aaron Draper. On guitar, Mr. Clay Sears. The violinistas, lead violinist and arranger, Miss Alexandra Cutler McKevin. Saxophone, Mike Burton. My homeboy for 15 years, Mr. Matt Cappy on trumpet. Aaron Good on trombone. Did you enjoy all the artists tonight, y'all? Najee Rashid on flute, on saxophone. Put your hands together for all the amazing artists that was on this stage tonight. Come on, we gotta go.
Welcome to Is That Jazz Radio, Jeff Bradshaw. Thank you so much for this interview. How are you, sir?
Oh, man, I'm good. I'm just on the move. All is well, man. Blessed and humbled by everything that's going on right now, man. But I'm extremely
well,
happy.
Here at the station, and I've told you this before, here at the station, we honestly believe that your upcoming CD will be probably the one of the most talked about releases this year. We've listened to it maybe about 10 hours now, and it's just amazing. So we thank you for your time, Mr. Bradshaw, and we have a few questions for our audience, okay?
Oh, man. First of all, thank you for the love. And, I, you know, from your lips to God's ears, I really believe that it will be that. You know, all I can do is do what we did, you know, perform the music, record it, you know, put our hearts into it. The most incredible musicians on the planet, you know, some of the most incredible artists on the planet, and it all came together. So I really appreciate you for the love, and I appreciate the kind words.
Okay. You know, one West Philly boy to another, man. So, you know, we really appreciate it. So our first question, there's an interesting story, Jeff, to how you received your first break. And can you put that in a context where preparation meets opportunity? How you took the stage and just, you know, filled in for someone, and that started you off on your journey?
Well, I was in Wilhelmina's, shout out to Kelly Reynolds, just a few years ago. I was performing with a good friend of mine who I started out with in the clan in the club, Jafar Barron. And he was going through some emotional things and really didn't have it together one particular night. And the club owner was really not happy with the way it was going and how he was addressing the crowd. And it was just unfortunate. And the club owner asked the band leader to leave and to not come back. So that kind of left us mid-show with kind of like, okay, what do we do now? So the band looked at me and was like, hey, man, you know, if you want to play, we'll play with you. I said, okay. I wasn't prepared for that. It's not something that I had set out to do at that time. But, see what happens. People loved it.
Well, that's great. That's, you know, that's an interesting story. And mainly for our younger audience to just know to be prepared, man. You never know when you get your when your opportunity may come. So,
were
yeah, we
I was
glad?
Ready.
Okay.
I didn't know I was ready though.
Okay. Our next question has a lot to do with, I think, maybe the center. And you said faith is your center. Can you please expand on that and how faith applies to everything that you do?
That God is first in my life, and He is the head of my life and the head of my house. And the head of my career and every decision I make, I pray and ask for direction from God. And, you know, and it's really not that difficult, right? Or hard to explain. That's what it is. And you know, that I'm a baptized believer in Christ and that God is the head of my life. And I try to make sure that he is always the head of everything that I do, you know, so that my footsteps are ordered by him. So that, you know, when you embark on a project like this, and although it was not easy, and although there were hills and valleys and peaks and valleys, that it's coming together now, and now the world is hearing it, and people can hear God's word. I believe in what I can't see. That's what faith is, you know. And being a trombone player, trailblazing, doing something in mainstream music that a trombone player has never done, you know, I can only lean on God and the gift that he gave me. And now look at us. Listen to this music. It's all God.
This CD is incredible, Jeff, and it has to be inspired by our Creator. And so I more than understand where you're coming from. Talking about the trombone, I've read where you're a gifted artist and you can play several instruments. Why did you choose the trombone to be your feature?
Well, first of all, I was born and raised in a church called the United House of Prayer for All People, where gospel brass bands are the feature of the music ministry. But, you know, I had a really, really incredible father. His name was Norman Bradshaw, and he passed away a few years ago. He was a trombone player. He played trumpet, trombones, tuba, sousaphone, guitar, and he had an amazing singing voice. And he was the coolest cat I've ever known. He was the coolest person I've ever known. He taught me how to be a man, taught me how to be a father, taught me how to, you know, clean and take care of myself and groom myself as a man, and how to walk, talk, and speak and be heard and be intelligent. And so everything he did, I wanted to do it. You know, he was my icon. You know, I loved my dad. And everything he did, because he was so cool, the way he commanded attention when he walked into a room, everybody loved him. And because he played trombone, I had to play trombone. Like, because he did it, I had to. Because if he did it, it had to be cool. So he did it. And I played several instruments, but because he played trombone, you know, it had to be cool. And then he introduced me to James Brown. And he introduced me to Fred Wesley, who is my musical trombone idol, Mr. Fred Wesley from the JBs, who I met,
right.
who was a distant mentor to me. Once I heard Fred Wesley play trombone, I knew then. I was like, this is definitely what I want to do.
You know, you answered my next two questions with just that one answer. I was going to ask, how has your father influenced you? Because, you know, my station is directed towards our youth, and so they need to know what a male presence, particularly a father presence, how that benefits someone. So your answer kind of answered my question about Fred Wesley, who's, I'm a big fan of Fred Wesley.
Yeah.
Trombone players is, and so you answered those questions, so I'll move right along here. You've played and shared the stage and studio time with some major artists, from Earth, Wind & Fire, Michael Jackson, to Common, Kirk Franklin, and Jill Scott. How has that experience prepared you for what no doubt is to be considered as a featured artist that you will be? Like, your name will be mentioned just like theirs very soon, Jeff, when this album is released. What is your, how did that prepare you for what's going to happen for you?
Well, that's exactly what it did. It just, I mean,
okay. Folks, Jeff is traveling, so he might have broke up just a little bit. So we're going to take a couple of minute break, and we're going to play something from his new release called I Do Sincerely.
Yeah. Round two.
Boy, I'm ready to go again.
for hanging in there. And our question was, you know, working with so many gifted artists, how did that prepare you, sir? Because, you know, you're going to be the most talked about artist in 2015.
Oh. Oh, wow. From your lips to God's ears. It definitely prepares you. I mean, to be able to, you know, I started, you know, 22 years ago in the studios recording on, you know, SM58s and, you know, lower-grade microphones all the way to the best microphones in the world. And those experiences are like going to college. Every level gets higher and higher. When you're, when you're recording a Earth, Wind & Fire song, and Maurice White and Philip Bailey and Verdine White are looking at you, you know, through the glass, you know, you have to be prepared to be able to handle that. You know, to record a song on a Michael Jackson song, you know, to record a horn arrangement on a Michael Jackson song, to record with Kurt Franklin, you know, to record with the Roots, to record with Jill. You know, these are great opportunities. I just did Faith Evans' new record. I just did Javis and Sullivan's new record. It's a blessing to work on these records, but those experiences truly prepared me, knowing how to conduct myself, knowing what the artist likes, knowing how to be patient in the music, knowing what the artist wants and knowing how to deliver, and knowing the different vibes of the music, knowing the tendencies of the artist and the things that they really love, the things that make their voice sound really good. You know, those are the things that prepared me for, you know, sessions at that level.
Okay, we're interviewing Tweet tomorrow, and our question is, how does she feel, you know, playing with such a superstar like Jeff? Because, you know, this year it's going to be like, well, it was Jeff provided this experience for me, and I learned so much. So, you know, that's how we feel at the station, especially after listening to the album. Jeff, the
Tweet is a humble spirit. Tweet is a very, very sweet, humble spirit. Her voice is angelic, and her personality and her aura is so sweet and so calm, and she's so soft-spoken and fun to be around. I really, truly enjoy working with her, and I'm a big fan of hers. I listen to her music all the time, and I'm not just saying that. I really listen to Tweet's music a lot because I love her. I love her music, and I love the sound and the timbre of her voice. But when I got a chance to meet her, and to be honored to work with her, to have her on my single, you know, it was just, you know, it's an honor.
And that single is really off the chains, man. So, and I guess you can just tell in the video, I've looked at the video many times over, and it creates such a vibe. And I kind of feel you when you say, you know, it's an honest approach to the music. So, you know, that's really cool.
Thank you, Mr. Bradshaw.
The subtext of our station and what we're designed to do is to play all type of genres of our music. And I heard of Robert Glasper mention one day that music is pigeonholed. So in creating a station, our subtext is anti-pigeonhole music. And your new CD.
Nice.
You know, so we play it. You might tune in to hear Richard Pryor and then an hour later hear Mick Jagger. You never know. And we try to blend it in a way where it all is cohesive. In keeping with that context, your CD has many different styles. That's your purpose to just, you know, to break out of these pigeonholes and, you know, the way the radio's formatted today. Was that your purpose?
Right. You know, I'm a fan of all kinds of different music, so that's why, you know, you have an album that you normally wouldn't see artists on this record together. You know, to have an album that has Trombone Shorty, Take Six, Kim Burrell, and Tweet.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, where else would those people be together on my record? Because one thing about a menu, like I call this record the perfect menu. It's like going to a restaurant and opening up the menu, and everything on the menu is all of your favorite foods. That's what
right.
The album is. It's very special touches and movements and journeys with artists that I love, and how they pepper and magnify the gift that I have on trombone to sing. You know, the trombone is my extended voice. and I sing with it. And with these artists, it just magnifies my gift.
Why did you choose, you know, to record a live album? It captures your spirit perfectly. I just want your thoughts on it. Why did you choose a live album?
That's an easy question. People, well, from my first album, Bone Deep, and from my second album, Bon Appetit, people always told me when they came to my shows, like, I love your music so much, but when I heard you live, I really get you. Like, I really get it now. Like, I get it. Like, when I saw you live, I get it. And after two albums of hearing it, I felt that it was necessary to record a live album. Because on studio records, people can't hear your swag. They can't hear, you know, emotional movements that you get when you're playing in front of, you know, 3,000 people from in your home city, and all those emotions and that amazing energy. Then God shows up, and then we have the spirit of love in the building. Like, those kind of things, sometimes you can't get in a recording studio session, unless it's a live recording or studio session. In the studio,
right?
But in a live concert environment, when God is there, when the spirit and the love of the people for me is there, for the musicians and the artists, for all of us to come together, man, I'm telling you, it was amazing. It was amazing.
You know, I've seen Robert. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying that it was the prayer that was prayed backstage by Take Six before the show. I'm telling you,
wow.
I'm telling you, God was in that building, man. And you can feel the Creator, you can feel God all in this music and all in the energy, and you can just hear the people screaming and yelling and crying, and, you know, especially on the Kim Burrell song, you know, when I was weeping and almost everybody in the building was weeping. You know, it just was an incredible, loving, spiritual movement. And that's what this record is. It's more than just an album. It's an event that God showed up to, and all of these great artists came together for a single purpose: to bring love through music and help me magnify my gift.
Okay. Our program director, Ebony Zudia, would be really upset if I didn't let her ask you a question. Would that be okay, sir?
Of course.
Okay. Ebony?
Hey, greetings, Trace. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm fine. I'm blessed. Thank you.
No problem. I'm going to just jump right in.
Okay.
Your mother, which I know you love beyond belief, stated that no matter what anyone says, with God on your side, you can accomplish the unthinkable.
Yes.
What accomplishments have you made, and what accomplishments do you plan to make in the future?
You know, whatever God says, you know, that we know what's out there. We know what the accolades are. We know what the, you know, but I don't want to get caught up into that. I just want to touch people. If the NAACP, BET, NAACP, the Grammys, the Recording Academy, all of these people choose to honor this record, choose to acknowledge this record as the great work it is, okay, cool. That would be awesome. It would be great. But really, this record, this music was recorded to touch people and heal people. That's what this music is about. It's about magnifying my instrument and letting people hear the gift that I have. You know, to cut through these big budget R&B records that real music was recorded last year on May 28th in the Kimmel Center, and that the world needs to hear it. And I pray that it cuts through, that it makes it through, that the people will speak when they hear it, when they're touched and healed by this record, when they're moved, you know, in love, you know, when they're moved to tears when listening to this record, that people will know, you know. I mean, there's obviously many awards that can be given out for great albums. I'm not seeking that. I want people to be touched by this music and to be able to say, I love this record, it made me cry, and the artist is a trombone player.
Wow.
Right. And you know what? That's what Is That Jazz video is all about. That's what we're about doing, helping to uplift people through our artistic expression of music, whether you play an instrument, whatever it is. It's about uplifting our people and allowing them to see what love and peace is all about. And I feel that that's what your whole major accomplishment is. I know you said you don't get into the accomplishments, but that is accomplishment, brother. And that's something to be proud of, because not a lot of people are like that. And is that Jazz is going to continue to support you in whatever it is that you do and whatever your mission is.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Jeff, just
Tracy,
a couple more questions. You're traveling, and so we'll keep it kind of brief here. You mentioned a live audience and performing at home. I saw Robert Glasper perform at Marcus Garvey Park in Harlem a couple of years ago, and it was so interesting. So many people knew him, and they was, don't mess up now, Robert, you know, and so the energy, and it was actually, he did one song that I thought was going to bring the Raptors down, the way, acoustically, how it sounded. How was it working with someone that obviously shares your vision of bringing different genres together?
Robert Glasper is the executive producer of this record. He is my friend of 12 years, and he understands what I have. He understands my gift. He understands the journey that I'm on and where I'm trying to go with it and how I want to touch people. That's why I trusted him to co-architect this record with me. He's a good friend of mine, but he just happens to be a two-time Grammy Award-winning artist. But he's a good friend of mine, but he's also brilliant. But he also understands who I am, what I do, and the strengths of what I do, and where I thrive at in music. And that's why it was necessary to bring him on as executive producer and have him on a single as well to kick off the record and to get everything started. But working with many of my friends are brilliant. Take Six is brilliant. 25 years, 10 Grammys. Bilal is brilliant. You know, Trombone Shorty is brilliant. You know, Kimberell is brilliant. You know, it's like she is, as far as I'm concerned, the most innovative voice on the planet. You know, but it's like I've truly been blessed to be a part of some of these records and to have some of these artists on the records. It's been amazing,
brother. You know, I felt the spirit of the album before we talked, and after just hearing a single. But after hearing and getting to know your character, I feel blessed that you took the time out, you know, to come on our station. And I'm even more committed to making sure, you know, to our listening audience that they hear this. And Jeff, our last question, and I always, whoever we interview, in whatever context we interview them in, we want to steer it towards our youth. And so, you know, your music will be a productive part of their lives. It will enhance them. The content, the lyrics of your song, the fact that it's live instruments will only inspire them to, you know, to achieve greater heights, unlike some of the music that's out there. So let me give you an opportunity after the question. Let our audience know you would like to, in terms of your performance here in New York, and I guess there's one in L.A. Before you do that, can you give a message to our youth, maybe listening or the rebroadcast of this?
I'm listening.
Okay. Our question is, what message do you have to our youth today?
First of all, for me, being from North Philadelphia, from the Cambridge Mall Projects in North Philadelphia, and to have been educated in the public school system, I never let anybody tell me no, and that was the end of it. I always believed in my own gifts. I always listened to, I tried to do the best I could to be a good son, to listen to everything that my parents told me, because I knew that they had been ahead of me, and they knew, you know, they had experiences in life and knew what pitfalls lay ahead for somebody that was my age, because they walked through it. Even though times are a little different, but there's nothing new under the sun. One.
Right.
Two, My father always taught me integrity. That covers a broad area in life, from careers to whatever you want. My father always made me tell him what was the definition of integrity. The definition of integrity is the quality of being honest, moral uprightness. That has carried me throughout my entire life. Being a professional, being on time, being dependable, being honest. If I say it's raining, when anybody says it.
Okay. Again, folks, Jeff is traveling, so he must have hit a dead area. We're hoping to get him back soon, but here at the station, this is really a milestone for us to have such a person of integrity. Jeff, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Jeff? Okay, great. And I guess you ended and you broke up, you know, temporarily with just how important integrity was and how your father instilled being on time, being responsible, being a man of your word. Can you complete that thought for us, sir?
Those things will carry you throughout every career, no matter what career choice you make, no matter what you decide to excel in and be in life. Carrying a cloak of integrity and professionalism and ambition and drive and always, whatever you want to do, you have to work on it. If you want to be a rapper, singer, whatever you want to do, in entertainment, in construction, in media, whatever, you can't just jump up and be like, hey, you know, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to be, you know, check me out. Everything takes work. You know, I didn't just become a pretty good trombone player. I worked at it and still work at it today. Work on it. I try to practice at least 3 or 4 times a week. It's really necessary because
okay.
I work a lot. So, you know, but working on and refining the gifts that you have, identify the gift that you have. Us as a people, we're born gifted. We're born with certain gifts. Identify your gift, harness it, and work on it so that when you have opportunities, you can make the most of it. But if you're not prepared, if you're like, oh, yeah, my father sang, you know, I probably can sing too. No, but if your father can sing and you identify that you have a gift to sing, then work on it. Sing at home. Sing in groups. Listen to music. Work on your voice. Get vocal lessons. Find out how good you really are. Find out how good you really can be. It's really important to take advantage of sharpening our tools that we have.
Okay. In closing, sir, I know you're coming to Philadelphia, and I can't wait to see that show. Can you give us some updates of what you would like our audience to know about your future events that you're getting to?
Well, right now, I'm on the train headed to Washington, D.C. Right now, I'm on Amtrak heading to Washington, D.C. for my super big first listening party at Live tonight. At 7 o'clock, and then tomorrow I'll be flying to Los Angeles for my show on Saturday at Spaghettini's, and
okay.
We'll be doing a listening party and performance of the concert out there, and then I'll be flying back home to Philly on Sunday to get ready to finish up the promo and a few more interviews, a few television interviews, a few magazine interviews, and get ready to launch the album. And the CD release concert on Tuesday at the TLA in Philly. Tickets there's still a few tickets available. But on Tuesday we'll be releasing the album March 31st, and I will be launching an event with an event, and bringing in Eric Robeson and Kenny Lattimore, Tweet and Black Thought from the Roots, and a few surprises. So this TLA concert, this TLA, I call it a CD release celebration. It's going to be incredible.
Yeah, well, we hope to be in the house and share those moments. And I'm going to be calling Myron right after this interview. Myron, what's going on? But listen, once again, words can't express our gratitude, Mr. Bradshaw, for coming on. Folks, is really something special. You will be able to hear it up till Tuesday, each hour on the hour on our station.
Wow.
And on Saturday and Sunday, what we're doing, Mr. Bradshaw, is we're featuring the music of the artists that are on your album, along with your music also. We're not going to play the whole album all straight, folks, because we want folks buying it. But we will mix it in with Eric Roberson and Kim Burrell and Tweet. And this Saturday and Sunday, we're going to feature all of your music, sir. And just please understand our gratitude in calling.
Oh, man, thank you so much. I'm humbled by your kindness, and I thank you so much for letting the world hear this record. And I'm looking forward to releasing it, letting the entire world hear it. And it's going to be a good time. I'm just so thankful and so grateful.
Right, okay, I'll see you on Tuesday, Mr. Bradshaw.
All right,
have safe travel, sir, and I'll talk to you then. Folks, we're going to end the show with I Do Sincerely by Jeff Bradshaw.
Yeah. 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 Round two. I want
Well, folks, you've just listened to Jeff Bradshaw off his new live recorded album. Once again, we thank Jeff for coming on our show. He's very busy, as you guys can see. And to actually call while he's on the Amtrak train makes us feel really special here at Is That Jazz. A couple of program notes, and we're going to treat you to one last song off this historic album. Stay tuned for our interview with Tweet, a performer on Jeff's live album, tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And as always, stay tuned for Catharsis this Sunday. Host Ebony Zudia will have some information about finances and the law. And does Ebony ask the best questions or what, guys? She humbles me all the time because she always comes in right on time and very correct. And I asked her maybe 5 minutes before we went on live today to come up with a question, and how great a question was it? We thank our listening audience, those that are listening live and those that will listen to the rebroadcast of this. We thank you for supporting our efforts to provide quality artists and gifted musicians that are often not heard on traditional radio, especially in this country. So we're going to end and say that we're all in this together in some form or fashion, no matter how high, no matter how low one tends to be. At some point, we're in a ghetto together. And that was just my very corny way of trying to end this show with Jeff Bradshaw's record called The World is a Ghetto. Peace, be creator blessed, and until we meet again, have a great day, y'all.
We about to take it on out, y'all. We gonna take y'all with a classic, though. Y'all ready? Check it out. Introducing Tony Moore and Jehovah's Chosen. Mr. Najee Rashid on flute, y'all. Coming back to help me out a little bit. Julius Burvine. On keys from Atlanta, Mr. Clarence Seeley Hill. On keys, Mr. Paris Bowen. Background, Miss Rare Valverde. Mr. V-Ro. All the way from Houston, Texas, Miss Trina Broussard. On drums, Mr. Rashid Williams. On percussion, Mr. Aaron Draper. On guitar, Mr. Clay Sears. The violinistas, lead violinist and arranger, Miss Alexandra Kutner-Sankiewicz. Saxophone, Mike Burton. My homeboy for 15 years, Mr. Matt Caffey on trumpet. Aaron Good on trombone. Did you enjoy all the artists tonight, y'all? Najee Rashid on flute.